May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the Luke account, it says in verse 16 of chapter 9 that after having the people sit down to receive, it says he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them, and then kept giving them to the disciples to set before the multitude. I taught from this section on Monday, but again, the way this works for me more mainly is that if I'm trying just to get a word for noon, then that's really not what God's called me to do. What I'm supposed to be doing is just hanging out with the Lord in my time in the mornings, and then in the process, God will speak something into my life, and then that's a word I have for noon. So often he'll say to me again and again, I want you to go back to Romans 6 or go back to this. So he just keeps saying to me, I want to keep speaking to you from John 6. Now there's a lot more to John 6 than just this story, so there may be more coming from John 6, I don't know. But in the process of doing that, the Lord spoke some things that were just reminders to me, encouragement to me. And so this is just like part 2, addition to some of the things that we shared on Monday, if you remember some of that. This is again, other than the resurrection account, this is the only other story that all 4 Gospels record. One of the Gospels, I think, is the one, it's Mark chapter 6, that I mentioned to you Monday, is that they actually crossed the lake. Jesus took them to a desolate place for them to rest because they were always giving out in ministry. It's not unusual for Mark to be the one that says that because one of the most dominant words in the Gospel of Mark is the word immediately. Like there's just a sense of urgency. And immediately the crowd came, and immediately they did this, and immediately you do this. And when you read the Gospel of Mark, you want to go to a desolate place and rest. And so it's not a coincidence that's kind of thrown in there, that in light of the intensity of the ministry that was happening, it was a time for them to rest. But when they crossed over and people figured out they had crossed over the lake, multitudes followed over, and Jesus came out of the place from where they were. He and the disciples were resting and saw this multitude coming. And it says in one of the Gospels that he taught them many things, but in 2 of the other Gospels, he also performed a lot of miracles and signs and wonders. A lot of people were healed. And so this rest turned out to be a working trip after all. And after ministering, healing, and doing the teaching, it began to get dark. And that's when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, we're in a desolate place, and it's beginning to grow late. Send the people away, because there's even 200 denarii would not be enough to feed these people, and they just receive a little. The thing I like about John, 90% of the things that are in the Gospel of John aren't in any of the other Gospels. So that's why the Gospel of John is so much fun to read, because there's just cool insights that John, this disciple whom Jesus was always loving, this disciple who's the only apostle that stood at the cross with the Marys, there were 3 Marys there too. He's the only one who put his head on the breast of Jesus. He's the one who wrote the book of the Revelation when he was 93 years old. And the Gospel of John was the last thing he wrote. And he was around 95 years old when he wrote that. So this is sort of a reflection of over 60 years of walking with the Lord. And he just adds some cool details. And I'm so grateful for that. But one of the things I want you to notice is that if you go back and read some of these accounts, I read the one from Luke, the one in Matthew, the one in Mark, the one in Luke, all 3 say that he blessed the bread and that he broke the bread. I liked what Luke says because it says he had the supply. And he kept breaking and just kept giving. He kept breaking and just kept giving. So there was a supply from which he gave. But the John passage is the only one that says this in verse 11. Therefore, Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Verse 22 says, the next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples had gone away alone. Now, the Holy Spirit makes a point of adding this. There came, therefore, other small boats from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So it's important to the Holy Spirit and to reemphasize that the people were fed not just after Jesus blessed the bread and not just after Jesus broke the bread, but after Jesus gave thanks. And once he had given thanks, then this miraculous thing happened. And John's also the only gospel where Jesus orders them to gather up the unused loaves and fish. It says in verse 12 of John, "And Jesus said to the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." The other gospel accounts just say, "and they gathered up." But here, John's important. John says that they did that because Jesus ordered them to. It wasn't that they were just doing a good cleanup job and thought of it. And it's not even that they were going around picking up little pieces that fell on the ground that people, as they were trying to eat, fell on the ground. Jesus ordered them to gather what was left over from the unused pieces that he was giving out of, like, the storehouse almost. And they gathered all that up, and it filled up 12 baskets full. Now, it's important that Jesus ordered this because he's wanting us to see something. It's really significant. The scripture says about you and me, no matter how much you might feel like loaves and fish, the loaves and fish, five loaves, and again, as I said Monday, the language here is that they were more like matzah bread. They were almost like crackers. And there were two little fish. They weren't like huge pieces of fish. This is what this little boy had. And so obviously that's not enough to feed all these people, 15, 20,000 people. And in one of the Gospels, it says that the disciples kind of mocked that this little boy brought one of the apostles this bread and this fish, and he brought it to Jesus, and he says, well, Jesus is asking the question, is anybody, we're going to do this? And this one apostle says, well, this little boy brought us this. But the language being cut, but what in the world can we do with this? We appreciate his heart. They were probably Southerners, and he probably said, bless his heart. And that means, that's to bless your heart, that you're an idiot, but he's a sweet boy anyway. You know, there's two bless your hearts. There's, I really feel bad for what this person's going through, and that you're an idiot, but you can't help yourself. And I think about me, and I'm sure this is true for every believer, there are just times when you find yourself in situations and you look at the loaves and fish of your energy level and your humanity, your patience and all that kind of stuff, and you just feel overwhelmed by what you're called, the need you're called to participate in terms of having it met. During this season for Olivia, with Olivia, that since she's been really sick since the second week of December, and we've had this ebbs and flows where she almost gets better, then we kind of crash and burn again. And so she's had five endoscopies already. We're probably going to have another one. We go back to the surgeon next Tuesday because she's having pretty bad symptoms again. We've had two surgeries. One's pancreatic, one was cancer. It's just been a lot of stuff. And then on top of that, the whole pandemic and all the other stuff that's going on. And in some ways, the timing is just amazing because it wasn't like I had to take off from traveling, which I do a lot of, and stay home. I couldn't travel anywhere. And so our time together has been wonderful, and I've watched more crazy TV shows than I ever thought I'd watch in my lifetime. If there is a purgatory, I've lived it in terms of television purgatory. And I think I've put my time in, so if there is a purgatory, I don't have to do it. Oh, by the way, I don't believe in purgatory. I do believe in hell. Maybe that's what I've experienced, TV hell. But it's been hard for her. It's been hard for us to walk through. And there have been times as not just her husband and not just the pastor of this church and not just long distance, still the bishop of this diocese and the archbishop of the archdiocese and then part of the and I tried to do all those things through Zoom meetings, all that kind of stuff, that I've become very conscious of the five crackers and two little sardines. And then I'm reminded that I started off this journey blessed. For Ephesians 1 says, I have been, you too, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, in the spiritual realm. That's already been deposited in you. It says in 1 Peter or 2 Peter that everything that pertains to life and godliness is already yours in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says you have already been made complete because you're in Christ. And so everything that I need to face everything in life, I've already been blessed with. I'm not begging God to bless me. People make mistakes, I think it grieves the heart of God that we beg him for grace. Oh God, please give me grace to make it through another day in this situation. Well, here's the deal. He already answered your prayer. He deposited all the grace that you'll ever need the moment you came out of the chute, the moment you were born again. You already possess all that Jesus is and all that Jesus has. You've been blessed with all grace. That's how this story starts. The bread was supernatural. He had blessed it. But in the context of breaking the bread and giving thanks, and the Holy Spirit emphasizes that giving thanks in chapter 6 here, that which was already in the bread was released supernaturally. And not only was there enough to feed them, there was more than enough. They were stuffed. We talk about that Monday. One of the gospel lessons says, and the people were fully satisfied. But Jesus intentionally ordered them, go count the unused portions. And there's 12 baskets full. And the word full there is like brimming over. If you'd have added one more piece, it would have fallen over. That not only was there enough, but there was more than enough. Because this was something supernatural. And that they carried those baskets with them because there was more than enough for whatever the next moment might be. It's a miracle that just never stops happening. But it's important about the idea of giving thanks. You know, when you walk through situations, and all of us are in them, it's just part of this fallen world, Jesus gave us a real promise when he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Go ahead and get one of those magnets and put it on your refrigerator so that you don't get discouraged and disappointed that that happens, because that's going to happen. So in those moments where we feel like we're being broken, and God does use that to challenge us to go deeper into the fact that I've surrendered my will when I said yes to Christ in my new birth, that I don't have a vote. This is his life. This is his story. I don't have rights. Only he does. But in those moments, it's in remembering, Lord, I don't have to beg you to help me here. I don't have to beg you to give me grace here. I thank you for your provision. And that your provision will be more than just enough to get by. There'll be so much left over that when I come home later today, there'll be plenty for them too. It'll never run out. And it's not a coincidence that in this chapter, you have all the stories about the bread of heaven, the teachings about the bread of heaven in Eucharist. And Eucharist, one of the things that Eucharist reminds us of is that it's kind of like the 12 baskets full. It just never runs out. It just continues. Because the language of faith, we've talked about this at CTK for years, is two simple words. Thank you. Because, see, faith doesn't believe that he can do something. Faith trusts, is confident that he is doing something, even before I can see it. Jesus didn't give thanks after. That's the time to run around in circles and praise. We often wait until after, and then having survived the circumstance, we go, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. He would like for us to trust him that what he's blessed us with will be manifested. His provision, his life in us, his adequacy, his more than enough will manifest itself. And I like what it says in that verse 23, where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. He emphasizes after the Lord had given thanks. Was the bread already blessed? Yes. Was the bread already supernatural? Yes. But in those moments where we feel like we're being broken, it's in those moments that we draw from, we thank him for the blessing of his adequacy for this. not to squeeze by, not to survive, not just to, quote, deal with, but to overflow, to know, to experience the more than enough, that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything you can ask or imagine. So stop asking, because he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond. Start thanking him. And every time you step back into the situation, you thank him again. You remember that this person has been blessed. I don't have to ask him and beg him to help me. He's already placed in me all that he is, for all that I need, all the time, in every situation. And so when I walk back in again, Lord, I'm reminded, because the 12 baskets full were left over, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace that you've already deposited in me in your life that's going to come forth in this situation. And I find myself beginning to complain. He reminds me that I'm broken bread. I said yes to his will from the very beginning. At the cross, the self-willed Chuck was crucified. All I need to know is that I am one. When people say be blessed, I want to go, have been. I appreciate what they're saying, but have been. And all I have to do is thank him for that, because it's in response to my thanks that which I carry is manifested in my life and into that situation and circumstance. And every time I blow it, it's not real complicated. It's always because I remember that I forgot that everything I needed for that moment I already carried, and I simply forgot to thank him beforehand for his provision. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.